This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. Today I'm going to finish up my series on post-traumatic growth. I asked the rhetorical question, is there growth possible after crisis and trauma? My answer has been a combination of answers. Yes, maybe, possibly, it depends, certainly, absolutely. I don't mean to be too irreverent here, but it's not an easy thing for us to really predict. People grow in the most adverse situations and conditions, and some people don't grow. They degrade in the most perfect conditions. It's a wild and crazy combination of a lot of different things: our environment, our attitudes, our personality, our family systems, events that happen to us, crisis and trauma, you name it. All of that work together in our prior condition, our prior life situation, to produce the readiness, if you will, to grow following tremendous crisis and trauma. Today is number 4, and I'm talking about what you can do to help yourself grow, and which is kind of like a summary. There are two major assumptions that we need to remember here. First of all, is that I'm assuming that you, if you are a trauma or crisis survivor, are at least 4 to 6 weeks after the major crisis or trauma. And two, things are settling down some. Oh, I know, that's a big thing, that things are settling down some. It's very hard to determine. I think 6 months after the tsunami, things are still not settling down in many ways. So, if I myself say that you need to, in order to grow, things have to settle down some, I'm really setting you up to fail, and I don't mean to do that. But I do mean that when I say things are settling down some, is that your daily life experience has gotten a little more standardized. If, for example, you are like a name I'll just create, Sanibel, a survivor in his homeland, things are settling down some when you maybe have gotten enough food so that you're not hungry, a shelter that may be plywood and plastic, but at least you're out of the elements. And the kids can start thinking about school or something, even if you're in a refugee camp or whatever. Or if you're Fred, an expat, things are settling down when you're mostly working, when the housing situation is okay. You know, those that's what I mean by settling down some. I have 6 points. Six is probably too much for this particular broadcast, but they're brief points. The first point in terms of growing from here for yourself is evaluate where you are, how you feel, what you need to do. Be careful about this evaluation. Don't paint too rosy a picture, but don't paint too negative of a picture either. What are the major feelings that you're feeling? What are the major states that you're in? How's the family doing? Those are the kinds of questions as you evaluate. I'm not saying you take 3 days to evaluate, but you just kind of say to yourself, how am I doing? The second point is set up a plan for meeting your needs. For example, if Fred were to have said, I really need to get the car fixed because now that the roads are travelable or whatever, this needs to happen. That's an example of a good growth step that he could do to give himself a little bit more control and to give him a little bit sense of he's making progress. Number 3, find accountability people, encourager people, and ventilator people. Maybe you already have these people, but I think you need somebody that can say, how you doing? Are you making progress? Why aren't you if you're not? I think you need to have somebody who can say, it's okay. Life is hard. It will get better. Let's have hope. And finally, you need somebody who will just listen to you complain about how things are going. So you kind of have the good, bad, and the ugly. And those kinds of people will be very useful in terms of helping you. Now, should they be the same person? Well, they could be. But, I find that sometimes it helps if you have more than just the one person. Number four, set up regular review times. One of the real difficulties in making progress is if you don't check and evaluate and review, you never really have a good understanding if you're making progress. So set up some times. That means putting them in your book to say, once a month, on the second of the month, I'm going to sit down and talk to myself or something like that. You may not be able to make much progress. Fred may have resources that Sanibel doesn't. And so Fred could theoretically have made much more progress than Sanibel. However, let's not diminish Sanibel's ability to do things. Maybe something as simple as finding or doing enough work to get a door lock to protect his family at night. I don't know. But the point is that if you sit down and evaluate your progress, then you'll know what you need to do. Number five, related very importantly to number four, and that is once you evaluate and review, redo the plan as necessary. For example, Fred may have decided that one of his goals was the idea of not being anxious anymore. He said, it's been 6 weeks. I shouldn't be upset every time X happens. Well, I think that's a little bit unrealistic because a month later, he's probably going to look and say, man, if anything, I was more anxious. So is that a good thing for him to be battling that by himself in a context that is predictably going to make him anxious? I don't think so. I want to focus everybody on successful goals. So that Fred may need to put that in a different place. Fred may need to say, if I don't feel less anxious within a month doing the things that I normally do, then I'm going to seek the help of somebody else. That would be a good positive goal. And finally, number six, and I've said this time and time and time again, look for hopeful signs. Hope is one of the keys to making progress. Hope is a key to growth. If you give up hope, then what's the use of doing anything? And you see people around you that in varying ways and degrees have given up hope. They become cynical, skeptical, suspicious. And I don't think those are attitudes or feelings that are good for you to focus on. I think you need to look and say, is there anything that I can do myself to help my situation? Then you need to look and say, is there anything I can do with other people to help their situations? I think it's always good to help people no matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter if you're in your own home or if you're in a tent city. Can you do anything to help each other? That altruism produces healthy responses in the people that do it. And finally, is there anything that I need to do to get the help from other people? The sooner you realize that you're not going to get better all by yourself, that you're not going to get out of this all by yourself, and that you need other people around you to help, the better off I think you're going to be, because there is wisdom in many counselors. There's support in the community. Well, that about sums up my time with you on post-traumatic growth. I hope that I didn't gloss over things too superficially for you. I hope there were some kernels of insight that you could find, that you could use, and that you could continue your growing journey. As you do that, remember you're not alone. There are people all around the world thinking of you, supporting you financially, and even praying for you. You're not alone. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that would be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.